It's great to be together again with you today, and we left off yesterday by having me ask this question: how can we receive the mercy of God in our lives? I propose to you that indeed God's mercy exists for us today as much as it did for the people who received the mercy of Jesus that we've looked at thus far in this series. We've been in Mark 1, Mark 6, Mark 8, and Mark 9, and also dipped into parallel passages in other parts of the New Testament to experience the marvelous mercy of our Lord. And we've seen that God, who never changes, has always been a merciful God. The scripture demonstrates this reality. But how can we receive the mercy of God in our lives? I want to answer this question by again consulting with Christ. I'm going to read you a parable that Jesus told over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. This is Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself: "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you this, man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." These are the words of Jesus in Luke 18. There is much that can be said about what Jesus says here, but let me focus my response to this parable so I can answer the question how we can receive the mercy of God in our lives. In order to experience the mercy of God, we need to follow the example of the tax collector. The tax collector is our tutor. There are two Jewish men who went up to the temple to pray. One of them is a Pharisee, the Jewish religious leader. Notice Jesus says that when this man prayed, he prayed to himself. That is in verse 11. And when he prays to himself, he goes on and on about how righteous he is. He's a very self-righteous man. He expects God to receive his prayer because of his own good works and how perfectly he thinks he kept the law of God. But Jesus says he was praying this to himself. Jesus is so straightforward in his condemnation of this Pharisee's prayers. And then Jesus juxtaposes, Jesus contrasts the Pharisee with the tax collector. Listen again to what characterizes the tax collector. First, he stood some distance away. This is important. The tax collector actually took his prayer posture from the very teaching of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you one of the many instructions Jesus gives us about prayer. This is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Jesus said, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they can be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." The tax collector understood this. He stood some distance away. He was not praying to be seen and to be heard by others. He was not praying to show how holy he was. That's first. Second, he was not even looking up to heaven. This reminds me of the prayer of Ezra, the priest of God, back in the book with his same name. I'm thinking of Ezra chapter 9 and verse 6. Listen to this prayer of repentance made by Ezra for the sins of his people, the ancient Israelites. "And I said, O my God, I am ashamed and embarrassed to lift my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen above our heads, and our guilt has grown even to the heavens." That's Ezra chapter 9 and verse 6. This tax collector in Jesus' parable prayed as Ezra prayed because both men were ashamed and embarrassed by their sin against God. They were so distraught over their sin that they didn't look up to God in heaven when they prayed. Instead, they recognized their deep need for God's mercy by looking down in shame. And notice third that this tax collector was beating his breast. Now, what in the world was all this about? We do not normally look across the church during a prayer time and see a person beating their breast, pounding on their chest as they pray. In fact, I have never seen this. Have you? What this means biblically is that the man is experiencing deep sorrow for his sin. He's in so much distress that he has become miserable. He knows that his sin separates him from God, and so in his prayer he gets physical. Luke uses this phrase again in his gospel, this time at the cross of Christ. Over in chapter 23 and verse 48, Luke describes the crowd as beating their breast after Jesus gave up his life on the cross. And why were they beating their breasts? They knew Jesus was innocent. Human sin put Jesus on the cross. The crowd was distraught at what had been done to Jesus. They were sorrowful. And it's the same with this tax collector back in Luke chapter 18. I am talking about what characterizes the tax collector in this parable, and thus far I have said three things. First, he stood some distance away. Second, he was not even looking up to heaven. Third, this tax collector was beating his breast. And now fourth, he pleads for God's mercy. He pleads for God's mercy. Listen again to Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Did you hear it? God, be merciful to me. The tax collector recognized the only way his sins could be forgiven would be if God gave him mercy. And I submit to you, this is the pattern that we should follow if we also want to receive the mercy of God in our lives. Jesus approves of the tax collector's approach, and our posture ought to be like that of the tax collector, not the Pharisee. So how do we receive the mercy of God? Let me put it to you this way. In humility, ask God to be merciful to you. In humility, ask God to be merciful to you. We've got to shake our pride. We have to be people who are truly, genuinely sorry for our sin against God and against others. In fact, for what do we require God's greatest mercy? We most require his mercy for our sin, and pride is sin. So, repent of your pride. This is a good time to tell you that the Greek word for merciful in Luke chapter 18 and verse 13 here is not the same word for mercy or compassion that we saw in Mark's gospel. The word merciful here is related to how God forgives us of our sin. Merciful here is related to sin, and to ask for this mercy is to ask God to appease his wrath for your sin, or to satisfy his wrath for your sin in Christ. It is to appeal to the mercy of God found in the death of Christ on the cross for your sin. The tax collector understands this is the mercy he is asking God for, and so the tax collector's whole posture in prayer comes because he understands the depths of his sin, and he recognizes his only hope is in the mercy of God for him. And we, of course, know that mercy is found in Christ. So, stand some distance away, pray in secret, not so that others see you. Look down in humility, but not up in pride. Beat your breast, ask for mercy. Proverbs 3, 1 Peter 5, and James 4 all say that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is precisely what Jesus says at the very end of the parable. This is Luke chapter 18 and verse 14. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let me read the words of Jesus again. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so learn from the tax collector and come humbly before Almighty God, begging for his mercy in your life. Beg for his mercy for your sin. Beg for his mercy to meet your needs. Beg for his mercy to heal you, body, soul, mind, and spirit. Beg for God's mercy to help you in whatever way you need it. And do this by acknowledging your weakness, your total inability to help yourself, and your abject humility before an all-knowing and an all-loving and an all-holy and merciful God, and God will give you his mercy. Jesus affirms this also in verse 14. Jesus ends the parable, "I tell you, this man went to his home justified rather than the other." Who is this man who is justified before God? It's the tax collector. Who did God give his mercy to? Not the Pharisee, but rather the humble tax collector. And who will God give his mercy to today? Not the self-righteous, prideful person who thinks they are just perfect, the one who thinks they have it all together, the one who thinks God just ought to shine his big light of approval and be dazzled by such a man or woman. No, God gives his mercy to the humble man, to the humble woman, and to the humble child. God gives his mercy to the beggar, to the lowly, and to the person who has come to the end of themselves and acknowledges before God, "Be merciful to me, the sinner." Now, this is going to be hard for a lot of us to do, right? Right now, too many of us are like the Pharisee in the parable. We're a prideful people. We do want God's mercy, oh yes, but we want his mercy on our terms. We want God's mercy to be added to our pride, to double up our blessings. In a sense, we want to turn God's mercy into our pride. We want to turn God's mercy into our pride. We'd brag even about God's mercy to us if we could. I mean, that's how deep our pride goes. That is how strong the sin of pride is within us. And so what are we to do about this? I have a suggestion. Pray a very uncomfortable and downright scary prayer. Ask God to make you humble. Ask God to make you humble, but be forewarned, God answers prayer. And that's why the Pharisees never prayed this prayer, and you might not pray it either. But whether you do or you do not, God has a way of humbling all of us. He really does. I know from personal experience that God knows how to knock a man down and leave him scrambling for the mercy of God. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Will you pray such a prayer? I hope so, and then I hope that you'll join me again tomorrow, for God is...